The last verse that I read in a, you don't have to turn there, but 2 Timothy 3, 11 says, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And that's what you have to remember when you go through pressure or persecutions. God will deliver you. God will deliver you. And you have to stay on that, that God will deliver you. Out of them all the Lord delivered me. Look at James 5. I think we're going to attest to that, some of us in here, right? Been through some hard times, but out of them all the Lord delivered you. James 5, verse 10. Take my brethren, please. Take my brethren. I think I was talking to Jerry that some of us have been at this for longer than Moses was with the children of Israel. And after 40 years, Moses had it. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, as an example of suffering affliction and patience. And that patience, once again, is they just bear up under it. Take them for an example of people who, you know, get afflicted, get attacked, and they're patient. Behold, we count them happy, which means we call them blessed. Which what? Endure, and that's to stand fast under pressure. There's a rhythm to this life, really, and that is that you're going to get attacked. Bad things are going to happen. Did I say that yet? Maybe that's a better way to put it. Bad things are going to happen. And then what you do when that happens determines the outcome. If you freak out, if you decide you don't believe the word, if you get all negative and everything like that, you might not see the deliverance that is awaiting you, that is there. So the rhythm is, when bad things happen, endure. Endure. And that means to stand fast under pressure, to keep one's ground, hold your ground, hold out. It's a brave bearing up against sufferings, a brave bearing up against sufferings. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. We have all these examples in the Word of God. You know how things end. That's what it's talking about. You know, like from God's word, that the end is good. It'll end okay. God will deliver you. The end will be okay, and it's the ending that matters. You have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, which means he's very kind and tenderhearted. If you'll stand under the pressure, hold out, bear up, you'll see that God is so kind. You'll see the kindness of God in your life, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy, very compassionate, very compassionate. So you hold out. You don't freak out. You don't back off of the word. That starts in your mind. If God's word says you're more than a conqueror, you don't get knocked off of that. You still think that. If your old man says, your life sucks, you answer him, I'm more than a conqueror, right? Which is true. You don't get backed off of that. And you'll see how wonderful God is. You'll see his kindness in your life. You'll see how he takes care of you. You'll see how he makes things better. Job's life got twice as much stuff after he suffered for a while. That's what you'll see. And by the way, this word for, what is it? What's the word for, oh, go to Romans 12, because I forgot it, but it's in Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 12. You rejoice in hope, and patient in tribulation. Tribulation is that pressure, and patient is that word for holding out, just bearing up. And in Romans 15, it says, that the Old Testament, what things were written before our learning, they build that patience in your life. You know, remembering what God did for Job, it produces that endurance in your life. The word produces that endurance if you'll read the word. And that's what you do when you feel yourself under pressure. You bear up. How do you bear up? Well, here's the techniques. Are you ready? 1 Peter 5. When pressure hits, you can decide to see the deliverance of the Lord by how you handle that. And the first thing you do when pressure hits, can anyone guess? Pray. Which Michael so beautifully covered yesterday. You pray. 1 Peter 5. You don't go, why is there pressure on me? There's something. Pray. Give it to God as soon as you can. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And the word casting is like what you do if a giant spider was crawling across your face. What would you do with that spider? Wow, that's an interesting spider. I wonder if it's poisonous. Look, it's got a red hourglass on its... Oh, no, get off me, get off! Right? And that's what you do. As soon as it hits, pray. Give it to God. Hand it off to God. Give it to God. So when pressure hits, you pray. You pray. I don't need to go over any more about prayer because Michael did it so great yesterday. But when pressure hits, pray. Give it to God. Give it to God. And then look at 2 Thessalonians 1. That's the easy part. Here's the hard part. 2 Thessalonians 1. Verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your what? We brag about you because they were getting persecuted in Thessalonica and they patiently bear it, they bore up under it. For your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. You endure. And this word endure means to hold oneself firm. And that's what you got to do. It's not talking about your body. And it's not talking about your closet or your car or your pets. It's talking about your mind. You got to grab a hold of your mind. It means to hold an equal mind. There's a great expression in 1 Peter 1. So you can go there if you want to see this great expression. Or not. I'll read it either way. 1 Peter 1. I can't find 1 Peter. What am I going to do? No, I've got to grab my mind now. 1 Peter 1. Verse 13. It's in the context of verse 7. That the trial of your faith. You know, you go through trials. But in verse 13, it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Isn't that a good one? Gird up the loins of your mind. And that means like you tighten your belt. But you're tightening the belt where? On your mind. Because when pressure hits, when bad things happen, your mind can go all over the place, right? Like, I have a friend who's going through a hard time right now, and he's just like thinking, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? If this happens, what am I going to do if this happens? You got to grab hold of your mind and tighten it up. Tighten it up. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're more than a conqueror in each situation. You gird up the loins of your mind. Look at Psalm 27. Tighten it up. You don't want to have a whole bunch of thoughts flipping all over the place. You want to tighten it up. Control your mind. Grab a hold of your mind. Psalm 27. Don't freak out. Would that be a good way to put it? What would young people say? I don't know how young people would put this. Oh, I do. B. Psalm 27. Verse 12. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, I'd acquit, unless I what? Believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You have confidence you'll see the goodness of God in your life when this stuff hits. And then it says, wait on the Lord. And wait means to expect with firmness or constancy of mind. You expect God to help, and you keep expecting it. You make your mind hold firm to that. You gird up the loins of your mind. God is a good God. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You answer everything that comes up from your old man with God's word. What the new man is more than a conqueror. I will have all my needs met. God will never leave me or forsake me. You stay firm on that. You stay firm on that. And yet that's the rhythm of it, you know? It's kind of like a call, you know, like the old, what do they call it, where they'd call, a preacher would call out and the congregation would answer and be like, your life sucks, I'm more than a conqueror. It's going to be horrible. I can do all things. And you stay firm on that. You stay firm on that. Wait, once again, to expect with firmness or constancy of mind. Be of good courage. Good courage is be firm. Be resolute. God will deliver me. I will see the goodness of God. Be of good courage. And this is so cool. And he shall strengthen thine heart. You stay firm. You stay constant. You stay resolute. And he'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say. Stay firm. Stay constant on the Lord. Look at Acts 16. I know we were there. We're going back. Because some of you noticed I didn't finish the story, did I? Look at this. Acts 16, verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rented their clothes. Who would rent those clothes? Tore off their clothes. They were so cheap, they rented their clothes. Commanded to beat them, so they have their clothes torn off. That couldn't have been pleasant. Beaten, many stripes upon them, cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the death row or something like that, feet stuck in stocks, and that was a rough day. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, what? Prayed. They look at each other and go, they didn't go, are you sure that guy was dressed like a Macedonian? All right, Paul, did you miss something? No, they what? Prayed. And then what'd they do? And sang praises unto God. Can you imagine that? Their feet are in stocks. They're in a dark dungeon. They pray, and they start singing praises. They start praising God. That's something. There's something about that praising God. Look at Romans 5. And after that, what happened? The prisoners hear him, and there's an earthquake. There's an earthquake, right? They get freed, and the jailer gets born again. And so when Paul writes in Philippians, the same conflict which you have seen in me and now heard to be in me, the jailer's going, I don't only saw it, I caused it. Because he was a believer when he wrote back to him. He goes, yeah, I saw it. I wasn't going to kill myself until you, because there was an earthquake, and I saw it all. Romans 5, verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Tribulations is that pressure, and it says we glory. And glory means to speak loud or be loud to boast or vaunt. And we don't boast about ourselves, but we glory about God. When tribulation, when pressure hits, brag about God. They sang praises. They were just singing about how great God was. And there's something to that. What you confess helps you to control your mind. It helps you to control your mind, what you say. And so when it hits, just keep bragging about God. This is nothing to our God. Look what he did at the Red Sea for Israel. Look what he did. He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Boast about God. They sang praises to God. What you say, what you confess, helps you to tighten up your mind. Helps the new man to rule. Look at Isaiah 26. Michael covered this one. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in peace squared, peace, peace, whose mind is what? Stayed, reclined on God. So, where's your peace in this situation? You keep bringing it back to God. God says you're more than a conqueror. God says you can do all things. God says you have the victory. God's word says that the adversary and his minions have been defeated. You keep bringing it back to God. Look at Mark 5. That's the work of it. That's the decision you make. That's the rhythm. You get hit, God's going to deliver me. You get hit, God's going to deliver me. I'm going to conquer this. I'm strong through Christ. I can handle all things. You stay on that standing on the word is in the mind, first and foremost, and you don't get knocked off of what the word says by situations and circumstances. That's one of the reasons they happen, to get you to quit putting your thoughts on the word. Quit thinking, I'm more than a conqueror. Well, maybe I'm not. You've been knocked off. Maybe God's not going to help. You've been knocked off. Stand on what the word says. That's a part of, read the parable of the sower about the offenses and stuff like that. Mark 5. Closer. Mark 5:35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. You remember this record? Thy daughter is dead. That's pressure, isn't it? Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only what? Only have confidence. And this word only means one out of many. Of all the things that you could think, only one. Only believe. This could happen. Only believe. What if she does this? Only believe. What if the car? Only believe. What? Only believe. Only one. There's a lot of things you can think. There's tons of ways a situation can go. There's a lot of thoughts you could think. Only one thought. Believe. Confidence in God. This looks horrible. More than a conqueror. It's going to go bad. More than a conqueror. You see? Only believe. Out of all the things you could think, only believe. And you know, the situation doesn't get better till it gets better. I think of David and Goliath. Goliath was laughing at David and calling him a dog and talking about how he's going to kill him until he dropped dead. So you have confidence in God. Doesn't mean the adversary is not going to still try to scare you. He's going to try to scare you until the situation is over and you see the deliverance, right? So sure, it looks bad. Only believe. Have confidence. More than a conqueror. And you stay firm on that. You tighten up your mind. And that's what you think. That's what you stand on. That's the reason you think what you think, because the word says so. Not because of an experience you've had, because God says it. You're persuaded by what God says, not by what the situation is. And that's believing. Being persuaded. And the argument that you listen to is God's argument. I will deliver you. I will deliver you. You will conquer. You can do all things. That's the argument you decide to listen to instead of it looks bad, it's horrible, you suck, everything sucks, run away. Psalm 46. You got that? It's simple. It's not easy all the time. But you have every right to be convinced that God will always meet your needs, don't you? What about when you lose your job? You lost your job. God will meet my needs. You haven't had a job for 2 weeks. God will meet my needs. Your ears fell off. God will meet my needs. Right? Only believe. Psalm 46. Psalm 46, 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's right there when you're in trouble. There is trouble. He's right there. Because of that, because he is our refuge, because he is our strength, and a very present help in trouble. Because of that, will not we what? Because God is right here with me, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. Though the earth be removed. If the earth is removed, I'm not. Can you imagine that? This is like being in a movie. Like, what's that movie with The Rock where all of California falls into the ocean? Of course, he uses every kind of transportation to get to his daughter. Well, what if the California fell into the ocean? Not afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. You're in the worst disaster movie of all time. Like Jerry talking about being on that boat. Can you imagine being on a boat that goes under? I will not be afraid. Though no matter what happens, and then Selah, of course, means consider that. Consider that. If God is your refuge, if he is your strength. And there's a proverb that says, if you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Your strength is small. And it probably means you rely too much on yourself. And you do have very little strength. Rely on God. You can look up that verse if you want. Check me out on that. It's in Proverbs. God is our refuge and strength and what? Very present help in trouble. So I'm not going to be afraid. I don't care what happens. I'm going to tighten up my mind. I'm not going to let it run on fear. I'm not going to let it noodle all over the place with all these possibilities. Because the greatest possibility is that God will keep his word. God will deliver me. That's the truth. And that's what you think. Psalm 126. And like I said, Goliath was insulting David till he dropped dead. Psalm 126. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. When God turns your captivity, when he turns the adversary away, when you get delivered, you'll be like in a dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Then we laughed. And our tongue with singing. Can you imagine? That's what you think. When God turns his captivity, it's going to be like a dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. That's what's going to happen to you. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to sing. And people are going to say, look what God did for them. Look what God did for that person. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And the streams in the south are like the streams in Colorado. They're going one way, all of a sudden, they're going the other way. They're going one direction, all of a sudden, they're going the complete opposite direction. And that's what happens. I've seen this. Things look horrible. They're just going south. And all of a sudden, they're going north. They're great. That rhythm, what are you going to do? The skill is grab hold of your mind. Don't be afraid. Think one thing. Believe. And I've seen things turn around. I couldn't even believe they turned around. You know, I was only kind of half holding my mind together and they turned around, you know? So much of this is about God, because God does deliver. But, you know, you're going to laugh. You're going to sing. People are going to say, look what God did. It's going to turn around. Just one second it's horrible, the next, what happened? That's what God is like. That's what God does. Philippians 1. And you have every right to think that. If God says something, you can believe it. You can put confidence in it. Because it's true, it'll happen. Philippians 1. Like when you get sick, do you think you're going to be sick like that for the rest of your life? There's a rhythm to it, you know? I'm going to get better, right? And when you're bored, do you think I'm going to be bored forever? One day I'm not going to be bored anymore. Of course, Carol would say, only the boring are bored. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Could be translated, act like a citizen of a free country. You're not from this place. You're not from this world. You're from the kingdom of heaven. Act like a free person from a free state. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast alone, so the Indians can pick you off one by one. Wish that would happen. That's another story. That you stand fast in one spirit with what? One mind, because it's a battle. We're getting attacked. We stay together. We're stronger. You know, sometimes you're mad at somebody, but you're still stronger together with that person than you would be standing apart. Then I mean, stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, fighting together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Terrified is to be frightened or scared. And it's especially of horses, to shy or to start. All of you who have ridden horses know that horses are chickens. I mean, you'll be riding a horse and a truck will drive by on a highway. No, what's that? They're nervous, right? Most horses, right, Ty? Most of your mother's horses are nervous and brutal. One time, my sister Ann gave my brother Dana a horse, and the horse bucked him off and ran away across the plains, never to be seen again. Right? But that's what they're like. They're like, what? What's that? That's why the world is the way it is, to get you to do that. No. I don't care. Nothing terrified by your adversaries. Who runs this world? Yeah, principalities and powers, spirits. And they're trying to get you to start. They're trying to get you scared. They're trying to get you jumpy. You refuse. Nothing. In nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. If you won't get scared, if you won't jump, you're showing them something. Evident token is a pointing with the finger or indicating something. If you don't jump, if you don't go crazy, if you don't flip out, you're pointing something out to them. The devil spirits behind what's going on, the pressure that you're under, you're pointing something out to them. And perdition is loss, destruction, or ruin. You're reminding them of their end. Your end is the kindness of God, God's deliverance, God taking care of you, God making things even better. The end of their story is destruction and ruin. And if you won't get scared, if you won't freak out, you're pointing that out to them. You're reminding them of that. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1. So it's a lot more than just you keeping a positive sense of mind or something. You're spiritually, they are dicking with you. You dick back. You remind them of something. You remind them that the Lord Jesus Christ has already beat them, that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, and that they are going to be destroyed. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, it says, and to you who are troubled, you might be in that group sometimes, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Angels here is messengers. It's going to be the angels and you. Us and the angels are going to come back and kick their butt. And they know that. So when you refuse to get terrified, to get scared, you're going, I'll see you again. I'll see you when we destroy you. I'll be there. An evident token of their perdition. That's what you're doing. A little reminder. And back in Philippians, and isn't that true? Well, that's what the new man would tell you. The old man would say, you're a loser. You're not spiritual enough. You have to improve yourself. But the new man would say, you're complete. You're more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in you. And if you will not be like that horse, what's that noise? What, something else is going to happen? You know what? Something else is going to happen. You just get patient. Philippians 1. Verse 28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. You don't get jumpy, which is to them an evident token of perdition. You're pointing out that they're destroyed. They're going to be destroyed and they've been defeated. You're reminding them of that. They're all liars. They'll try to convince you that they can do something. But you're reminding yourself of something too. But to you of what? you're pointing out to yourself that you're whole, you're complete. God delivers you. And that of what? You're reminding yourself that God delivers of your wholeness. For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to be acted on for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and you, jailer, did to me, and now here to be in me. So you grab a hold of your mind. Here's a weird attitude, Acts 5. Acts 5, verse 40. Acts 5:40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles, they what? He got beaten here. Another example of getting pressure, they got beaten. And they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they got beat up. They beat them, and they told them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council. What? Yay, we love being beaten. What does it say? They rejoiced. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Counted worthy means to count up and hold worthy of something, to regard as deserving. And this is about the time the adversary was starting to be sorry that he crucified the Lord of glory. Because there was other men and women who were acting like Christ on earth, who were manifesting the power. They were blessed because the adversary had tried to stop them like he would try to stop Jesus Christ. That was their attitude. When you get under this pressure, maybe it's because you're standing. Maybe it's because he's going to treat you like he treated the Lord Jesus Christ. And that blessed them. I'm representing God on this earth. Where I was yesterday, the power and presence of God was. And so I got pressure. So they rejoiced about that. They didn't rejoice because they got beaten. They rejoiced that they had stood. That where they were, the power and presence of God was, and it was manifest. And they got people born again, and they healed people. They walked like Christ. They walked worthy of their calling. And so they were a threat. And so they got pressured. They got attacked. But it blessed them that they were counted worthy, that they were treated like the adversary would treat the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the adversary was starting to be sorry that he crucified the Lord of glory, because now there's more than one walking around who can do all this stuff. So that's a strange attitude, isn't it? Look at Acts 13. So you can rejoice, not that you get the pressure, but that somebody thinks you're a threat, that you're walking, that you're standing, that you're helping, that you're upsetting the kingdom, that you are turning the arrangement upside down, where the adversary gets to rule and run everything and do whatever he wants. In Acts 13, you know, many times when you go through really hard times, it's when you come out the other side and you see God deliver you, you still have this, like, just an attitude of sadness or something like that, or anger. And it says here in Acts 13, verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and they got kicked out. Verse 51, but they shook the dust off their feet. And dust, according to Bishop Pillet, is symbolic of hatred or malice or holding a grudge, resentment or ill will. And Bishop Pillet said, don't carry these away with you. When you get attacked, when there's great, like there's times in Acts when people die, people are killed. You know, don't, if you picture like the anger you might have or the sadness you might have, or, you know, the malice you might have towards what happened as dust, when you leave the situation, shake it all off. Don't carry it with you, or you'll be bitter. You can see the deliverance of God, but still be bitter about what happened to you. And if you let that build in your life, you can be in Disney World and have a crappy time. That's what I used to tell my kids. They never got to Disney World, by the way. I'm sorry. If you're bitter, you can be in the greatest place in the, you can be eating the greatest meal in the world, and it tastes horrible to you. So shake off the dust. Just shake it off. Quit thinking about it. Quit thinking about how unfair it was. Quit thinking about how sad it was. Quit thinking about how horrible it was, the horror of it. Just picture it as dust and shake it off. Look at Psalm 52. Don't carry it with you. Yeah, it's unfair. Yeah, it's not right. Yeah, it's a cruel place. Yeah, there's some sad stuff. People die. People betray you. One of my favorite psalms, you know, it's like, I just like to get out of here. I like to go anywhere. I like to fly away like a bird. The theme is a friend betraying you. My close friend betrayed me. Shake it off, or you'll be bitter. And that means just quit dwelling on it. Move on. Psalm 52. In the little writing at the top of Psalm 52, it says to the chief musician, Mashkir, a psalm of David, when Doeg, the Edomite, came and told Saul and said unto him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. David wrote this after he was escaping from Saul. He had to run away from Saul, and he went to the priest's house, Ahimelech, and he lied to the priest. This is in, what is it, Samuel, what is it? 1 Samuel 22. You can look at it. It's a great record. But he lies to the priest and tells him he's there representing Saul when he's really running away from Saul. And he asks for food, and the priest gives him showbread. And he asks for a weapon, and the priest gives him Goliath's sword. And he leaves. And this guy Doeg told Saul that David was there. So Saul went there and confronted the priest. And it ended up that Doeg killed 85 priests, and the entire city of priests, all the women and children. And David's comment when he was told only one son remained alive, and he came and told David, and David said, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. So he wrote this psalm after that. This horrible evil had happened. 85 priests killed, priests of God, their families all killed. And David, being the one who, because he lied and went there, the cause of it. This is what he wrote. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? Who do you think he's thinking about? He's pissed. This guy Doeg killed all these people. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Look at that. First of all, this is horrible, but what? The incredible goodness of God is continually. Thy tongue devises mischiefs like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than gold. You suck. Lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Is he mad? Yeah. Was it a horrible situation, a horrible evil? Yeah. The righteous also shall see and fear, and they're going to laugh when you're destroyed. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengtheneth himself in his wickedness. I'm pissed. I'm guilty. The situation's horrible, horrible. But, verse 8, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. Even after all that, he still has God. And the picture here is a tree in God's house. A tree that's well taken care of, well watered. A beautiful tree in the house of God. And you will go through some horrible things. And some things that could color your life for the rest of your life. And just make you sad for the rest of your life, maybe. Or mad for the rest of your life. Or bitter for the rest of your life. Don't let it. God still takes care of you. God still heals your heart. Shake off the dust. Even after all that, he says, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I'm still like a beautiful tree in God's house. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Do you think God takes care of his trees at his house? It's a figure, but what do you think God's trees looks like right in his house? Do you think they're nice? That's you. After everything, don't let it color the rest of your life. Don't carry it around for the rest of your life. You got to let it go. I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. And that's the unbelievable kindness of God. The badness of the devil is nothing compared to the unbelievable kindness of God. And that's what you keep looking for. You keep looking for God's kindness in your life and expecting it. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. So when pressure comes, pray and then grab a hold of your mind. And when you see the deliverance, shake off the dust. Go on. All right? Okay. So Father, thank you for your deliverance in our lives. Thank you for giving us the strength that you've given us. Thanks for helping us to understand you more and more. Thanks for the great love we have for each other. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.